Galatians chapter 6. We've been teaching on this for a week or two. I want to get back into it again. I hope I didn't hurt any feelings last week or beat anybody up too bad. It's never my intention to have people get beat up. Thank you, Lord God. But the word will pick on us, won't it? I don't know, should I start to soften things in here or just teach what I'm getting at? Thank you, Lord God. I don't know if I could. Galatians chapter 6, are you ready? Verse number 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh, shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Here we see we have an option of what we're going to sow into. Not just finances. Also your time. Time's really the main one. What are you doing with your time? What are you doing with your actions? What are your actions representing? You know, are you being a blessing? Are you being a self-serving, selfish person? And so everything we do, everything we say, what we do with our time acts as seed. And God says, I'm not mocked. Whatever you sow is going to come back into your life.
Yes.
If it's bad, it'll come back bad. If it's good, it'll come back good. Now understand, you can't sow to receive salvation. But once you're saved, you have an option what to do with the opportunities and time God gave you. For what your harvest is going to be once this is finished. And even during your lifetime. And I started talking about, a few weeks ago, the hardest thing to do once you're saved. What is the hardest thing? And again, we started talking about, many would say, well, it's to give up sin. It's not hard to give up sin once you're saved. It doesn't match your nature anymore. I'm not being made not to drink and run around and, you know, watch junk on TV. It's not my nature to do those things anymore. For me to do it would be running contrary to who God made me. So I don't want to drink. I don't want to do drugs anymore. I don't want to take from people. I want to be a blessing. All part of that new divine nature we've received, right? And so the hardest thing for people to do once they're saved is to daily find out what God wants them to do. We went to Luke where Jesus was in the garden. And he said, Father, if there's any other way, let me do something else. Rather than go to the cross. But then he said this, a deep truth. Nevertheless, not my will but yours be done. What is God instructing you to do? What is God leading you into? And it's our job to find that out every day. It's amazing if we'll seek God, he'll change our plans.
Yes.
He'll reorder our priorities. Understand, he'll let you do some of the stuff you want to do. Probably most of it. He just may have you get in the Word first, or pray first, or fellowship with him some first, or maybe later on. He knows your schedule. He knows what you need to get done. But also, he wants to lead you into a place of fellowship, really unity with him. And so, he's going to tell us, here's what I want you to do today. And if we'll do that, again, what do we start off reading tonight? God is not mocked. Repeat after me. God's not mocked.
My investments in the
Spirit will come back 100-fold. You'll find that if you let God direct your steps, lead you in this, because he's smarter than we are. You know, one of the things I've been meditating lately is the immenseness and the awesomeness, the unfathomability of this created universe. They have found a sun, I believe that, if I read it right, is bigger than our whole solar system. Think about that. A sun bigger than our solar system would dwarf our sun, make it as if it was nothing. And those are all through the universe. Trillions of stars spread all over the place. And God just said, watch this. Let there be. And it was created. put in place, held in place still by His Word. And it's so, in fact, I got a message I've been working on about God's works, His creation. Much of it is too unfathomable, too phenomenal for us to comprehend. It's so vast, so powerful. And God just said, let there be a whole universe. And so, He's so powerful. He's so brilliant. Time means nothing to Him. He can look forward in time as well as backward. He doesn't forget anything. Right? Think about it. God doesn't forget anything. He can forget anything in the future. And so, because He knows more than we do, if He says, this is what I need you to do, it'd probably be a good idea for us to do it.
Yes.
And here's what I've discovered. If we understand God's not mocked, what we sow, we reap. If you do what He says, He'll give you shortcuts for what you wanted to do when you do it. If you do it God's way, He'll give you shortcuts. He'll cut stuff out of your list. But the enemy is an expert at getting us caught up in the cares of this life and having us so focused on what we need to do, we start to put God way down the list. God, I'll seek you when I get a chance. I got to get this done. And we have to recognize, if we're gonna be one that says, not my will but yours be done, you got to believe if you'll do what God says, it'll pay off. And the number one reason, that was what I'm about to say, the number one reason people don't do or even seek out for what He wants is they don't trust Him to tell them what they want to hear. He said that again. The number one reason people don't seek God's will, don't seek His list, don't pursue Him as He directs, is they don't trust God will do as well with their time as they can. Amen? God created time. But we think we can handle our schedule better than God can. We need to recognize He's got our best interests at heart. You follow me? Don't be afraid to seek God for His will and then do it. Because it's going to work out to your benefit. To not do it is really a type of sowing to the flesh. Well, I wasn't sinning. No, but you're sowing to the natural expectation, natural actions, natural efforts. And this is in corruption. I want blessing.
Yeah.
I want life. I want power. But again, you've got to get to the place. You've got to get to the place. You've spoken it over your life. And I recommend you just start speaking Galatians 6:7 over your life. You've got to get to the point that you believe God is not mocked. And if you'll sow time to Him and to His will, you'll see the rewards of it. Does anybody believe that?
Yes.
If we believe it, I'm working on it myself. If we believe it, it'll change our priority list.
Yes.
It'll change how we approach our days. Amen.
Amen.
And so God's drawing us into this place of trust in Him. Chapter 6, verse 9, look at this. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. God's got a season for your reward. You got to trust Him in this. Now follow me. I believe this is the Word of God. I believe as Paul wrote, every word is God breathed. Inspired, meaning God breathed. Right? God's will, His mind, His heart is in this book. In fact, this book is the very DNA code of Jesus Himself. He was the Word made flesh. I believe this book. And if God says He's not mocked, He says we shall reap if we faint not, then I believe it's important for us not to faint, not to quit, and to put God's list first. And what I'm telling you right now, see, here we go again. I'm going to step on toes. Please don't be run off saying, God, Pastor Jack, he's just too hard. I'm trying to be hard. I'm trying to get us to switch gears. There's got to be a point in our life we really believe in the kingdom of heaven and make an effort to move into it. See, so many people want a convenient Jesus. that recognizes their life and says, okay, you've received me, I'll bless whatever you do, just go about your own business. And of course, they may be people in prayer, church attendance or whatever, but they are not giving God the opportunity to develop them, to grow them, even to switch kingdoms where they can function out of the supernatural. And I'm trying to get people to flip that switch. I've told this story before, so I haven't told it very long ago. About this guy that had this really fast motorcycle. Have I told this before? This guy had this really, really fast motorcycle. And he was speeding all the time. The police tried to catch him. They couldn't catch him. I mean, that motorcycle was so fast, he just take off, he was gone. So finally the police said, we've got to catch this guy. We've got to do something. So they built an extremely fast car. I mean, this police car was the fastest police car ever built. Maserati had nothing on this police car. In fact, they might have designed it. And so finally the motorcyclist takes by, he's taking off, and the police car zips behind him. It's catching up and catching up. And finally, I don't know, about 180 or 190 mile an hour, they're side by side, and the police officer hollers over on his loudspeaker, what are you going to do now, big boy? And the biker says, shift into second. I sit there for a purpose. In these end times, God's trying to get the church to shift into second.
Yes.
I mean, even third being the third heaven, right? To get us to shift over really of trusting and functioning out of the kingdom of heaven. And again, I'm trying to do this myself. But what happens is we get so busy with the things we feel we need to do, we keep pushing God further and further and further back. I remember when I was first saved, I was on fire for God. I'd spend 8 hours a day in the Word. If I had a weekend, I'm in the Word every chance that I get. Nights I'm reading, praying, fasting. Then you get so busy with life that you start not pressing as hard as you did. And there's a danger that you can get to the place that the cares of this world overtake you. And it says it chokes out the Word and becomes unfruitful. And we got to get to the place God's list still comes first. I'm not saying you've got to pray 8 hours a day and read the Word all day and fast and all this. I'm just saying you need to pursue God what His list is.
Yes.
What would you have me do? I met a lady at our last Chariots of Light tour back in May last month who had a bucket list. She's basically a couple years younger than me. She had a bucket list. One was to go on a motorcycle ride. So she rented a spider or whatever, three-wheeler bike type thing. Got a hold of Chariots of Light and followed us on the tour because it was on her bucket list, which is fine. And a lot of people have a bucket list. I mean, it's very common. It's just the movies. People make these bucket lists. What I want to do before I die, my bucket list. Before I kick the bucket, here's my list. And they'll heavily pursue it. I don't have a bucket list. Everything in this world is going to be destroyed anyway. You follow me? My list is just to be doing whatever God has me do and manifest His glory. And go into rapture, first look. But it's amazing how many people have a bucket list for themselves but don't have a bucket list for God. In other words, they have a list that they know they want to do. What does God want you to do? Again, I hope this isn't too hard. But it's our responsibility to find it out, to pursue Him. To say, God, show me what you have for my life. And He will. It may start, He may just say, I want you to fast chocolate for a week. And all air was sucked out of the room. We don't know what He's going to tell you. But what it is going to be for your best.
Yes.
If we do it. He knows. Think about, you know, I've got my grandson here tonight. He just turned one. He's 13 months old today. And he is, if he's not asleep, he is 100% wired for energy. He is just on go all the time. He loves to clean the dog dishes. So you got to stay on top of that. Our house is not childproof. And so we can't just turn him loose. You're like this all the time. Who's got him now? We're tag team. Who's got him now? And we take turns keeping him out of stuff. And so it may seem like we're mean that we don't let him clean the dog dish or even eat it. We don't let him, you know, crawl outside next to the swimming pool. We go inside and have supper, you know. It may seem mean. Oh, you're not letting him do what he wants to do. But we're doing it for his best, and we know better. I'm at the place in life, I really believe I know better than a 13-month-old. Oh, what's good to do and what isn't, right? So my daughter disagrees with my list, but she's got her own list.
Yeah.
It's her 13-month-old. She knew what she wants to. But imagine that it's God looking down on us. We're like 13 months old to him. I know what you need. I know what's best for you. Stay out of that. Don't do that. That's what part of the law is about. Here's things that will hurt you if you go do it. Don't do that. And he knows what's best as far as the activity we should involve ourselves in. Again, God's not calling us to be in the Word and prayer 24/7. He's just calling us to find out what he wants us to do at any time. And God lets you enjoy life. I love my life. God has blessed me. Amen. And so I attribute it to God. I gave my heart report here, you know, last week. Never been here the heart report. Did anybody not hear? On the same page. I went to the doctor here a few weeks back for a checkup. He checked everything from the blood test. Everything turned out really good. In fact, the doctor says, your results are not just good, they're very good. I said, well, praise God. And I asked him, I said, I've had several friends that have died or had major heart attacks. I mean, stents, bypasses. I've had two friends that had 6 bypasses. Shots, one of them. And I said, I don't know. He had more than that with 11 hours of surgery. And again, not beating anybody up. I didn't want that. I said, there's something I can do proactive to check to make sure it's not a problem. Understand, I've been speaking for 30 to 35 years over my life, virtually daily. My heart is strong. My veins and arteries are clear. And blood courses through my veins and arteries. That's my number one confession for over 30 years. And so he said, yeah, there's a CT scan they're doing now. You can have it done. Well, I recommend it. It'll cost $88. With no insurance. They don't have any insurance coverage. At least Medicare didn't cover it. Had it done. I got the results back. Scores range from 0 to 1,000. 1,000 means you're pretty much dead. 400, you're serious. I think for people over 70, 30%. 28 to 30% score, 400 or more. Another 40% score, 81 to 400. And a bunch score from 1 to 80. Another bunch. And so I took the test. Now understand, the reason I was testing is because I've not been known to eat healthy. I like donuts. I've been known as the Little Debbie King. I've always had a supply of Little Debbies. Although now the Reese's Cup cupcakes are superior to anything Little Debbie makes. And I like fried foods. I pay no attention to healthy diets for the most part. Eat what I want to eat. And I thought, I know I've been confessing, but I need to check. So I went and had the scan done. They gave me the results. I scored a 0. Zero buildup, zero carbon deposit. Everything 100% as if I was young, which I am. It's also confessed my youth is renewed as the eagles. And immediately God said, how could you have buildup when you've confessed it for 30 years? Everything's clear and flowing strong. This word works. You got to believe it. And I'm telling you, I'm thankful for 30 years of speaking that over my life versus being cut open now. Because I really believe it's the word that makes the difference. And so we've got to get to the place we want to move and function out of this kingdom. And God will lead us gently. He's not looking to beat us up. He's like, well, it's about time you came to me in prayer. Here's what I need you to do. Just sell everything and move to China. He's not going to do that. Do you follow me? He may have moved to Tennessee as a promotion. God loves us too much. Let's go to a few verses. Look at John chapter 15. John chapter 15. This is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Verse 1, this is Jesus speaking. He says, I'm the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me, what does in me mean? You're born again. You're part of the body of Christ.
Yes.
You're connected to the vine, right? Every branch in me. That beareth not fruit. In other words, you're born again, but you don't bear fruit. He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, again, I believe this is God-inspired word. And here he says, you can get born again and not bear fruit. And if you don't, he takes you away. Removes you from being in him. That's a serious thing. I'm not sure a bunch of pretenders, even people caught up in the cares, people caught up in, you know, life's responsibilities that push God to the side are not in nature. Do you follow me? I don't want to be there. I don't want you to be there. So that's why sometimes some of my messages come across challenging or stretching or hard, is because I'm not allowed to pat your head and tell you everything's going to be great if the Word doesn't say it. Amen. But then he says, every branch that beareth fruit. Now understand, what's fruit? What's fruit in the Bible? Well, the fruit of the Spirit is love, agape, right? But I believe the fruit is anything you produce for the kingdom out of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. There's no fruit without faith. So fruit represents, I believe, anything you produce for God supernaturally motivated by love, your new nature. Amen. These every branch is pursuing me, that's moving in, that's making changes, that's developing, that's demonstrating results, I'll purge it. And it'll bring forth more fruit. In other words, I'll prune it. I'll snip off the branches that are unproductive or suckers. Anybody know what suckers are on a plant?
Yes.
I mean, tobacco's known for suckers, right?
Well.
Yes.
Tomato plants are known for suckers.
Yes.
You ever raised tomatoes?
Yep.
And you look at your plants, and it's so common, you'll see a V where a branch on the tomato plant's branching out, and then out of the center will be another one going away out there. That's a sucker. It draws away energy from the plant, but it doesn't produce any fruit. So what you do when you see one, snip it off as quick as you find it. Leave the V, snip the sucker, and it'll put all that energy back into the plant to produce. That's what God's talking about. I want to cut stuff out of your life that are suckers. Life suckers, time suckers. Pulling away you away from the things of the kingdom. I'm going to cut them out of your life. And so he'll do it. But you have to cooperate with the circumcision. We'll put it that way. The cutting away. You got to say, God, okay, that's not productive for my life. That's a time waster. Let's get rid of it. Boy, I tell you what, he's cut a bunch of stuff out of my life. The latest one now is projects. Buying anything that might be a time user in the future. Cut them out. I'm trying to get some of the stuff on my list done now with God's involvement and direction. And my intention is to get all this extra activity out of the way to have more time to pursue God. Why? Because they're suckers. They're time consumers. And so he says, I'll purge it. And if you get rid of those things that are consuming your time, your focus, your effort, your heart, the idols. Idols are more than a statue on the mantle. Idols are anything that has your attention more than you want to see God.
Yes.
Basketball can be an idol. Listen, if you can cheer more for a game than you can cheer for Jesus, that might be an indication right? You get more excited for going fishing than you do for going to church. That could be an indication. Amen. God cut fishing out of my life. Praise God. And a whole bunch of other stuff. He's purging it that we can bring forth additional fruit. And nobody likes to be purged. Nobody likes the cutting away. Amen. I was reading this morning in Hebrews chapter 1 that Jesus was made perfect through suffering. Now, is God beating up Jesus so you can see him suffer? Oh, you suffer enough now to promote you. No, God's not like that. He didn't want us to suffer. But the suffering would be decisions to follow God, and Jesus' decisions led to the cross, which produced perfection as far as promotion really is what it is for him. And we, as God says, I don't want you to do it anymore, it can be a hard thing. Friday night prayer was a, how can I say, challenging decision. Once we did it, it was easy. But the decision, the shifting our schedules was hard. I think very soon I'm going to come out with another message on buyouts, spiritual buyouts to buy people out of the kingdom. There's things that the enemy will use to buy us out of the kingdom. Job opportunities, family activities, whatever, just to get us disconnected. And we've got to be submitted to God to find out what he wants us to do, because the distractions will arise. Again, it's been probably 15 years ago now. I don't remember how long. We were in all my prayer and I had a vision. And we're in a circle praying, but I have a vision while they're praying. And I saw a set of railroad tracks going from my feet all the way down the center aisle of our church, out the back windows, into the parking lot, into a solid cloud of glory. So thick, so dense, if you'd put your hand in there, you couldn't have seen your fingertips. Brilliant white. And it was a glory. And off to the side, I saw these little balls like a mile away. Bonfires. Not like what happened at Iran. In Iran yesterday, little bonfires. Like you'd have at a ball game or something, you know, bonfire. And God said, you're on track, railroad tracks, to go into the glory. Don't get distracted. Detracted, untracked. Stay focused on the glory. Don't look at the fires all around. Those fires are distractions that are trying to get our attention to get us to veer off that track God has. You got to want to stay on. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews chapter 6. See, when I read the Word, I see all these assignments of God to step into. And I feel I'm supposed to bring them to you. And you get to choose how much to move into. And again, hey, if you're going after God, he's not going to beat you up. Well, you didn't do good enough. No. Just keep going after him. Refuse to take a sidetrack. Hebrews 6, have you got it? Look at verse number 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to his saints, to the saints, and do minister. Let's read verse 11. And we desire that every one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. God's not unrighteous to forget the seed of your son. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And you choose. And we have to really be truthful with ourselves and with God. You got to get with yourself. Have a conversation internally. Just sit there. Take time to sit down and talk with yourself and talk with God. Say, God, do I believe in you? God, do I believe your word? God, what does your word say I should be doing with my life, with my time? And then respond. But God is so faithful. How can I say? So honoring of us. He gave us such a free will. He will never make you do anything to pursue him. Something's got to rise inside out of your divine nature and say, God, I really believe you're not mocked. I really believe you know what's best. This will be about the Father's program.
Yes.
And I'm watching what happens, right? He's not unrighteous. Well, I did all this and all this and all this for God. He's not unrighteous. I could go on with a big list of what I've done for God. Quit a high-paying job. Work for so much. I've built churches. Modified them. Made them usable. And now I don't have a church. Well, God, I did all this. I don't have a church building. He's not unrighteous. We'll receive a harvest if we faint not.
Yes.
It must be about the Father's business, right? That's what Jesus said when they asked him. It must be about the Father's business. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Well, I have a good message for next week too. I'm trying not to jump over into the next week's message. 1 Corinthians 10, are you there? Verse 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever you're doing, get God involved in it. Whatever you're doing, find out what he wants you to do. And be about it. Now look at chapter 15. Have you got it? Verse 57, the thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God gives us victory. Verse 58, therefore, my beloved, he calls us beloved. I don't tell my wife I love her enough. I don't want to give her a swelled head. God calls us beloved. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, always, say always.
Always.
Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Whatever you do is going to pay. Amen. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to play the lottery knowing you win every time? I mean, Powerball, every time you win it. It wouldn't take but a couple of weeks to say, shut down Powerball. All it takes for God to shut down Powerball is have one of his people win it every time. Same person, win it every time. How you win it? Well, God tells me the numbers. If you don't shut it down, I'll tell everybody the numbers. They'll stop it. People quit buying it, provided you win every time. You got to recognize what God has is better than Powerball. I don't know how you are, but I know how I am. Money's not a big deal to me anymore. Debts are paid, right? Bills are paid. If I had a lot more, I could be a much more of a blessing. Do you follow me? If I had a lot more, I could, buy whatever building we want in town. We believe we received, right?
Yes.
I'd rather have the presence of God in my life than any amount of money. I'd rather have the glory than any amount of money. I'd rather walk in love than any amount of money. So understand, what we have a possibility to receive from God is better than Powerball. Are you convinced of that? I'm convinced of it. Better than Powerball. You got to understand, God's not mocked. If you play the game See, if you know the numbers for Powerball every week, but you never buy a ticket, it's not going to be changed, and you're not going to receive anything.
Right.
You got to buy the ticket. Now, listen, I'm not advertising Powerball. I've never bought a lottery ticket. I don't intend to unless God tells me the numbers. I believe it's a work of darkness. I'm using it as an example right now. God's blessings are better than Powerball. He says, I'm not mocked. You always win. He's not unrighteous. Why not buy into God's system? You know why we don't? Why people don't? They don't believe this one scripture. God's not mocked. Whatever you sow, you'll reap. They really believe. And we get self-search on this. We really believe we can do better with our time than God does. Than God can. And if I sit and think about it seriously, I know that's not true. But in the day, you're running around trying to get stuff done, trying to, you know, get your list finished, your honey-do list. Well, mine never goes down. It just expands. You're trying to get the list done. And you get so occupied, you lose track of God. Says, if you'll do my list, I'll help you. Find out what He wants you to do. Right? Are you getting anything out of this? You got to believe it. Proverbs. Chapter 14. Or Proverbs 14, I guess, better way to state. Just some miscellaneous verses I've written down. Proverbs 14, look at verse 23. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury, poverty. It's one thing to talk about what would be good to do. It's another thing to do it. We can talk about the importance of following God, of seeking God, and even asking Him what His list is. The talking doesn't produce the results. Actions do. We've got to be those that put this to work. Now, understand, I'm not talking about natural poverty as much as I'm spiritual here. What are you going to do with your time? Look at Proverbs 16. Verse 3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Just say, God, I commit my work to you. God will tell you what to do. Say, God, what's your will? He'll tell you. Commit it. Say, God, you show me, I'll do it. Go about it. He may say, I need you to go out and witness to people today. I don't like doing that. Well, you're bought with a price. Your life's not your own. Could be if you'll do what God says, even if you don't like it, it'll turn out to be the most amazing experience you ever had. I mean, you go out there to witness, and all of a sudden, lame people are walking, blind or seeing, deaf or hearing, and all you do is obey one thing. See, that's the part of not being mocked. God has surprise blessings through doing what He says. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. God will give you what to think. He'll interrupt your thought life, your knowledge. Proverbs 12. Are you there? Verse number 24. That's the wrong one. Oh, that's it. 24. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. If you can be diligent about seeking God and finding out what He wants you to do and say, God, not my will, but yours be done. And you'll rule. You'll rule over darkness. You'll rule over life. You'll rule over the curse. But to not do it. To be slothful about spiritual application. Tribute means what you pay to somebody who is your master. 2 Peter chapter 1. Have you got it? Save time from going through this entire list. He's talking about what I call the stairway to agape. He's talking about diligence, discipline. He says, adding to your faith virtue, and the virtue temperance, to temperance knowledge, knowledge godliness, godliness, on through the list, all the way to agape. And so it's a lifestyle, pursuit of walking in supernatural love, that in it God will start ministering into your life changes. Well, let's read through the list because I know I need to now. Look at verse 5. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, or orient to that order tonight, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity, or agape love, supernatural love. And so what these deal with are internal growth developments God will bring into your life as you cooperate. You go to pray, God will say, you've got a problem with impatience. Let's work on that. Speak the word. You have a problem with self-control or virtue or whatever it might be. And he'll start correcting you. He'll jump around, correct you here, and then he'll jump over this part of the list to correct you here. He's trying to get you internally all fully developed to walk in supernatural agape. You follow me? And this is part of going from faith to faith and glory to glory. Is this letting God change you? Stubbornness with this will stop your growth in Jesus. And it'll stop your rewards. Amen. So it says in verse number 9, verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we read in John 15 a while ago, he that beareth not fruit is taken away. He that beareth fruit is purged to bring forth more fruit. This is part of the purging process. Reading passages like this, reflecting these words within yourself, and letting God show you where there's impurities. Need of change. Like repentance even. And he says, if you do this, you'll be fruitful. I want to be fruitful. I want to see God's rewards. I believe he's not mocked. Whatever we sow, we reap. If I'll do this, I'll receive a reward. And he says, you'll be fruitful. Verse 9, but he that lacketh these things does not cooperate with the list, just does his own thing, his own schedule, his own plans, his own will, is blind. See, it's amazing. God told the lady to see in church, you think you're rich, you're blind. In fact, he says, you're poor, blind, and naked. They thought they were wealthy. I believe the lady to see in church reflects on a user-friendly church today that we heard Charlie Kirk referring to. You think you got great music, great lights, great facility, bills are being paid, you think you're rich. No, there's no anointing. There's no agape. There's no supernatural move. No miracles. It's just a social club. And here, he says, if you don't let God make these changes within you, you're blind. And cannot see afar off. No prophetic vision. No comprehension of the time you're in. No knowledge that Jesus Christ is coming soon and you better be ready. No, how can you not watch what happened last night with the bombing in Iran? 3 nuclear sites wiped out. All dealing with Persia and Israel prophesied in the Bible 3,000 years ago, even more. Now that America's in the middle of it, how can you not see Bible prophecy being fulfilled right now? How can you go on with, I'm talking about to the camera. How can people go on into their lives without change, knowing the Bible's being fulfilled right now, and I don't want to step into it?
Yes.
You've got to go after it.
Yes.
It's time. I mean, the glories, it's time. I pray protection for America. Israel, Americans and Israelites around the world. Amen. Against the, how can I say, heart of the wicked. To bring them on. Back to 2 Peter. Cannot see afar off, and he's forgotten his purse from his old sins. He forgot the miracle God did within them. We should be eternally thankful for what God did and move into it, not move away from it. Wherefore, the rather brethren, give diligence, in other words, consistent application, even forced application, to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, if you go through the list, if you let God minister to you, if you find what his list is versus yours, ye shall never fall. Now you have my attention. At it anyway. But if we'll do this, it elevates us to the place where we're so strong in Jesus, so strong in the Word, so strong in the Spirit, flowing with God, he will show us any pitfall that might try to trap us. You'll have the fortitude to step through it. You'll be a catalyst where you'll be changing the world, but the world can't change you. Amen. We cannot be defeated if we do not quit. Hebrews 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Back a few books. Let's start reading at verse number 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. In other words, we don't want to go backwards, we want to keep going forwards. But here's the threat of going backwards. Getting so busy with your list, you forget to do God's. You're not pursuing him like, you know, perhaps we should. Talking to myself. Don't let it slip. Look at verse 2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, and it wasn't good, how shall we escape if we neglect or even reject so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Here God's warning us. There's no escape if you reject or neglect what God started in you. Time to get back with the program. Right? God also bearing witness. Look at this, verse 4. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Now here we see the will of God for his people. Signs and wonders, diverse miracles, gifts of the Spirit, supernatural manifestation. Here we see God's looking for supernatural in the church, and we've settled for just getting by. He's my buddy now. He's my most reverend grandson. Because I've told the family I will be referred to as most reverend grandfather. They've not been. I don't have their consensus yet. It's coming. We're to be a supernatural people. This is part of the fruit. To not want to pursue that. To use faith as the most important tool God gave us for something we can apply. Is neglecting. And I want all that God has. Right? In John chapter 6, you don't need to turn there. But Jesus taught one of the most difficult to receive messages he ever taught. Maybe the most. Because the multitudes are there. He just fed 5,000. Right? 5,000 men. Maybe 20,000 people. And he speaks this message. He says, unless you eat my flesh, drink my blood, you have no part with me. Yes. They didn't understand it. The 12 didn't understand it. And he says, you're only here for the free meals. User-friendly church. Free meals without commitment or interaction. And he says, they all left. And he turned to the disciples and said, "Will you also go?" And Peter answered, said, "Lord, to whom else will we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. Where else will we go? I have no place to go but this book. This is it." Amen.
Amen.
And we got to recognize, sometimes we don't like what's said. Sometimes we may not understand it, but we still live it because God's not mocked. Whatever we sow, we reap. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Anybody has something else they want to share? Well, hang on, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for our new facility. I thank you, Lord God. You have our best interests in mind and heart. I speak in this church, they're not sick. There's no pain, no oppression, no fear, no lack, no worry. And we thank you there's no strife. Merge us together as a body full of the power of God, the love of God. See miracles take place. And again, we thank you for our new facility. Praise you. Thank you in Jesus' name. So be it.